says, Spirit, lead me to where my trust is without a border. You know, that saying to us, Lord, take me out of my comfort zone. I don't want the convenience anymore. I want the challenges, the commitment, and the conviction. And I'm not going to place a border around it. I'm just going to go. I'm just going to go. Is there anybody here that's feeling that today? Is there anybody here feeling that God's just going to send you and just say go, and there's not going to be a border? See, church, would you just go? And you just do what God's called you to do. You shouldn't have this feeling that you're losing something. You should have a feeling that you're gaining something. Yeah. But not in America. Some of us just feel sometimes when God's sending us out that we're feeling like we're giving up some conveniences of life. So we keep turning around and looking at this convenience that's behind us, thinking there's not going to be some more conveniences in front of us. So we make this determination that we're going to chase these conveniences behind us when God's got a victory in front of us. And all he wants us to do is chase that. We're not going to know what it looks like sometimes. We're not going to know where we land. We're not going to know some answers. But God just says, go, and I will direct you. And then don't place a border around where I'm sending you, because that's not where you're going to end up. Because when you place a border around something, you're going to end up right there, and you're not going to go any further. And God doesn't want that. God wants us to believe that we're going to end up going farther than we ever thought possible. And when you live with that mindset, church, you're unstoppable. Unstoppable. The enemy can't stop you. The devil's not going to hold you back. Friends and family, they have no dominion over you, because it's just you and God, and the road is open. And there's no border ahead of you. And you're just going to go. I pray this morning there's somebody like that here at Cross Point Church today. I pray that this is a church that goes forward and doesn't look back. I pray this is a church that doesn't look behind us and say, I want those conveniences again, that we just chase heaven. Is that us today? I pray so. Let's go to heaven and say, God, let's just go together and trust heaven. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you. Father God, I don't want the conveniences that I had yesterday. I want the challenges of whatever you have for me today and tomorrow. Lord God, I'm going to commit myself. I'm going to ask you that you just convict my heart, Lord God. Father, just take me someplace where there's no border, and I'll go. I'll go. Lord, I pray right now that I'm in a church that has that forward thinking, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that you bless each and every one of us as we take a step of faith today and tomorrow and the next day, Lord. And Father God, we'll just follow you. No matter where it takes us, no matter the cost, no matter the inconvenience, Lord God, send me. And send Cross Point Church. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Somebody give heaven some praise this morning. Hallelujah. Look at somebody as you're seated and say, I'm going to ask God to send me today. Send me, Lord. Good morning, Cross Point Church. I don't know about you, but it was 50 degrees yesterday, or darn near. And if it's January and it's almost 50 degrees, you got to feel like you're getting energized. Now, I know it's about 100 in here today. So, you know, we're just getting ready for spring. I think spring's going to be really the hottest spring ever. What do you think, right? Yes, praise the Lord. Please, Lord. Hey, thank you for joining us today. If you're watching online, thank you so much. If you're in Florida basking in the 85 degrees that it's going to be today or tomorrow, thank you for joining us, you snowbirds. We're waiting for you to get back home. I hope you come home before it gets to 80, right? Right? If you're in a hospital today, I was seeing people posting online this morning on the online campus that they're in the hospital or whatnot. I know you. Thank you so much for joining us today and the many throughout the country that's joining. I saw them this morning. It is such a blessing to see them joining us here in the vacation capital of the world, Canton, Ohio, right? If you're listening on the podcast this morning, I appreciate you joining us today. Why does the pastor welcome all those people? Because all those people are listening to us on the broadcast, watching online, and listening throughout the week on a podcast, and we just want to say thank you. They could be anywhere else, but they selected to be here just like you did this morning, and I'm so appreciative that you did that. I would challenge you to grab friends and family and bring them into the house of God here at Crosspoint. I don't know. I was praying this morning during worship, and there is just this overwhelming feeling that God was saying to me, I'm doing something different. And I thought, okay, Lord, we did something different last week when we called for Resurrection Sunday seed offering on Easter on the 31st of March. And we'll talk about that again here in a second. Thank you, Pastor Mike, for reminding us about that. Today, I'm going to start a new series, and it's going to be entitled Chasing Convenience. Chasing Convenience. If you're watching behind me or watching online, you should see this cool guy on this graphic. He's just running, and you can see he's leaving a trail behind him. He's chasing after convenience. Lord, let that not be us. Right? Let that not be us. God's always going to take us, we pray, out of our comfort zone. Let's do a little quick review, because I just came off of a series called Alive and Active. God's Word is alive and active, and if we're tied to His Word through Jesus, our Savior, we are also alive and active, and we talked about that. We talked about the three core pieces of being alive and active: your prayer life, your fasting, and then last week, your giving. When we talked about praying, we talked about the week of prayer that we entered into, the first of the year, the National Week of Prayer, the Assemblies of God, partake in every single year, and we talked about that, and we launched that, and we prayed every day. Also on that day, we launched the 21 days of prayer and fasting, and then that following week, I preached on fasting. Prayer rings the bell of heaven, right? Gets God's attention, but fasting gets God's response. And we talked about that and being alive and active, and we talked about what we can do. And then last week, church, I talked about giving. We talked about giving, and specifically we talked about your tithes and your offerings. The tithe is your first 10% that comes into your house. The Bible says God owns that. He owns everything, right? He owns it all, but that first 10% is sacred and holy. And God asks you to give it back to Him at the local temple, which today is your local church. And we thank you for your giving. We thank you for your giving. And then last week, we launched our faith. God laid on my heart to launch a resurrection seed offering to be given by this church on Easter on March 31st. Thank you, Mike, again for mentioning that. And what is that, Pastor? The biblical concept of sowing and reaping. I'm going to sow into something, and God's going to bless me because I'm going to seed into it. And I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that. If you're a giver here at this church, you've been doing that all along, we're going to ask you to sow something on that Sunday. If you're a non-giver, I did it because I want you to see the supernatural blessing of the gift. It's all about you. It is not about me, and it's not about the church seeking your money. It's all about you learning the concept of I'm going to sow into something. And so what we're going to do is allow you to sow into something the church will do. So the church believes in the same thing. We're going to take that seed offering that you bless us with on March 31st, and we're going to turn around and we're going to sow it someplace else. We're not going to sit on it. That would not be the biblical concept of sowing and reaping. We're going to sow it, and we're going to allow you to decide where it gets sowed to. And so you just go to the website at cpoint.church, or right on the main page, there's this huge graphic, and it talks about the Resurrection Seed Sunday offering. And what you're going to do is you can click the little button right below it, and it says learn more, or, you know, something along those lines, or tell us what you want us to do type thing. You click it, it'll go to a couple of questions. The first question is, do you want us to sow it in your church right here at Crosspoint? Do you want it sowed here? And we give you some examples like the kids ministry or youth, or, you know, there's a few there I think that we list, and just give us some thoughts. It says yes or no. Yes, do you want us to sow it here at home, or no? If it's a yes, tell us what your thoughts are. Select the box, basically. Or is there, I think there's another box that says, hey, give us your thoughts. And it talks about compassion ministries and families and church, the things we do around the ministries of our church. Journey Night, I think, is listed there. But then the next question is, do you want us to sow it outside of our church? And if you do, say yes, and then tell us where you think it should go. And I think one of the listing there says struggling churches. You know, there are churches out there that are just barely making it today. They don't have funds. They don't have giving church. They're still really struggling. And some of those pastors and those leaders, they don't even know how they're going to pay the bills the very next week. And they pray over their offerings and tithes and offerings on a Sunday, hoping they have enough just to make the bill payments. Maybe we should sow into that church, whomever that may be. You know, maybe we should do that. And then you'll get to watch how your sowing changes lives, because we're going to ask a church, if that's the selection, to walk with us. Maybe there's a ministry in town that we need to sow into, that they need our help, that's local, that you can think of. Maybe there's somebody that really needs this church to sow into the lives of that ministry. But check the website, and we want to hear from you, church. We want to hear what your thought process is and where we should put that money, because I am believing that this church is going to rise to the occasion and see a supernatural touch, not only on your finances, because you're going to sow into a ministry, but you're going to reap the reward, because God's going to honor your faithfulness. And how do I know that? Because the scripture says that's what he'll do. And I trust that. Church, you with me? Yep, we talked about that. Today we're going to talk about moving out of our comfort zone. Specifically, the message series is on chasing conveniences. Chasing conveniences. What's the definition of chasing? Well, you're going after something, right? You're tracking something down. I tracked down my wife years ago, before she was my wife. I chased after her, right? Yeah, I did. And she kept on running. But I chased her down. That's what chasing means. You're tracking them down. It really means to pursue. You know, if you look it up in the dictionary, to pursue something. You're pursuing something. And why? To capture it and overtake it. Chasing. You guys know what I'm talking about, because many of you guys did the same thing, right? Some of you ladies did the same thing. What do you do in America, though, when you're talking about chasing? Here's the big one that you do the research. It says, I'm chasing the American dream. What is that? The American dream is listed as a stable family, a stable job, and a stable home, owning your own home, and having some type of stable income or a business or something that gives you, and that's just that stable convenience. That's the American dream as we know it. People chase it. I'm not saying it's bad. It's not bad at all, right? People chase money, right? People chase after money. They also chase after happiness. I've known many people that chase after happiness, and that was their lot in life, to just chase after happiness. I said, just chase after heaven and you'll get happiness and joy, you know. But they chase after happiness, right? They also chase after power. Many of us know people like that. But the big one that we chase after is convenience. We chase conveniences. You don't believe me, do you? We chase convenience. What's convenience? Convenience's definition is easy, favorable, are two big words, easy and favorable. That's convenience. I need convenience in my life, right? And we'll chase after those conveniences. Comfortable, freedom. And what's some of those conveniences that we've been chasing after? Years and years ago, I know I'm going to tell you this and you're not going to believe it, but years ago, people didn't have electricity in their homes. I know it's hard, I know, right? They didn't have running water in their homes. And today, those are conveniences that we just take for granted because we have electricity and we have running water. We have conveniences in our home like a washer and dryer and a microwave. Lord, thank you for that microwave, right? I can make something so fast. We've got this place where my iced tea is stored in the refrigerator. Your pastor is addicted to iced tea. Yeah, I know. So is my wife. We like our iced tea. And if I didn't have that refrigerator, that convenience, it wouldn't be cold. And then I got to have my ice, right? Our daughter loves the ice. Mountains of ice, right? Here's another one. How about this? I need my remote control, right? I'm tired of telling my wife to go change channel on TV, right? So I just get the clicker out, right? That is the guy's favorite convenience, the clicker, right? Don't act like I'm not saying it right. I am saying it right. You know I'm right. I love that remote control. I'm not even a big TV watcher, but when I do watch my football game, I can change the channel, right? You're shaking your head because you know exactly what I'm talking about. Here's another one. I like drive-through windows. That is a convenience that I really enjoy, the drive-through window. Another convenience that showed up was computers years back. Now, some of you are young enough that you don't remember when the computer came on the scene. I'm just a little bit older that I remember that computer. And then I remember when this other feature with the computer showed up called Wi-Fi and the internet. Now you can get to your things that are not right next to you by this Wi-Fi connected device that just sends out the signal and you can grab onto it and get you out to the World Wide Web. Another convenience, right? What about the GPS device? Remember when it showed up one day, maybe if you're old enough, it was in this little box, right? And you put it on, you buy it. You know, we had those, you know, we put them on the dashboard. Garmin put them out. They were the big supplier, right? Today it's on your phone, right? You don't need this separate device. Conveniences. Here's the couple that I really love. Now, if you know me, I love online banking and online shopping. Now, yesterday my wife took me to some malls up in Cleveland to do some shopping, and it was really good. I don't do that a lot, like once a year or twice a year. So it was really good that I got to go through the stores, and like she's in her heyday, and she's going through all the stores, and I thought, this is really good. But I also thought about what I would say today because I like online shopping, and I love online banking. Some of you remember having to go into the bank, right? Those conveniences. What about the coffee drinkers, Keurig coffee makers in your homes, right? Conveniences. And then this thing showed up years ago called a cell phone. Cell phone, right? The flip phone. My dad still has a flip phone, right? Some of you have the flip phone, right? I remember when the first phones came out, they were installed in cars. I had two. Both cars. I thought that was just a bomb. Hello there, right? You know, you're driving down the street, you're on the phone, right? The big thing. And then they put these phones in a bag. You remember that? If you wanted a portable phone, you had to put it in the bag with a battery. It's this big. I mean, it was, you know, I had to have one of those too. I just thought that was the coolest thing. And then they came out with a headset. And they were like big walkie-talkies years ago. The Malone students are looking like he's got two heads, right? I have no idea what he's talking about, right? The phone was this huge thing, right? They got smaller and more convenient. And then they ended up to be smartphones, handheld computers in your hand. It's really a computer in your hand that has a phone built into it, right? And then they added things like Alexa and Siri and FaceTime video and cashless payments and on and on and on. And then for some of you, this other one, I'll just mention this last one, a smart TV. Oh, yeah, right? Smart TVs with all the fancy apps and whatnot, and Apple TV that you could just put the, you know, all conveniences. There's so many more. I a list of them. Why? Because we're addicted to convenience. We're addicted to convenience. And there's two things that advertisers know about the American consumer: that we are addicted and chase after conveniences and comfort. So they will create things that make your life more convenient. Everything's about chasing convenience. You think I'm crazy, but just stop and think about it, that's exactly. Watch the commercials today when you're watching the football games, and Dallas and the Browns are not there, right? They'll have commercials about chasing convenience. Detergent that gets your clothes brighter and whiter, right? This car is better than this other one. You've got to have, on and on and on. It's conveniences, right? It's just all. Why? Because we're driven by conveniences and we chase after them. We are all about that. We chase after those conveniences. What does God say about those conveniences? You know, God says they're different. See, when we talk about conveniences, we're talking about our situation. And that stuff around us, right? We're talking about our situation. That's how we're driven, kind of like the thought process. And they know that they advertise to us, it's all about your situation. We'll never be satisfied, right? The smartphone will never be the latest and greatest. The car will never be the latest and greatest. There will be another something else, the microwave, well, you name it, there will be something that's better than the one you have. Always happens. Because they're always coming out, right? Do you know the iPhone comes out every year now? Every single year. It's not really different from the previous year. But they know you're thriving on a convenience, something else, better camera, whatever. And they know you'll never be satisfied. God does not function on your situation like that. When you look at the scripture and you start learning about things about convenience, God is more concerned, not about the situation first, but how it affects your life. The effect it is on your person. See, convenience to God is talking about not your situation, first and foremost. It's talking about you as a person. And in the Bible, it talks about that convenience could give you an opportunity, a blessing, a situation that will enrich your life, not just make you comfortable. So God's talking about more on the personal side. We think as convenience more on the situational side. Those things are not the same. Are they? Why are they so different? Here's why they're so different. Because when we define convenience, it tends to be about our situation. Stop and think about it. But when God defines convenience, it tends to be about the person, which changes the situation. God's more concerned about us and how we, through a relationship with him, can change our situation. And sometimes our thought process and the enemy and everything that advertises comes bombarded in my life is all about just the situation. Not the God factor, right? There's the conflict, right? There's a conflict there. And church, you don't see in the scripture where it says, my life matched with convenience. It's not there much. You know, but there is things in the scripture that talks about my life match with inconveniences and challenges. That's all through scripture. Trials and tribulations matched with my life is more in God's word, and sacrifice is more in God's word than life and convenience and situation. Why do I want to follow that God? Right? The life is matched with trials and tribulations. Mark 8:35 speaks that for whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever wants to lose their life for me, Jesus, for the gospel, will save it. Taking you out of that convenience situation. There's always temptation for us to save our lives, right? To live comfortably, provide for the future, make our own choices with our situation at the center of everything. Our situation's at the center of everything. But Christ calls us to pour out our lives for his sake, dedicating ourselves to him. So he asks us to lay down our lives of convenience to evangelize the world. Watch what happens today, church. Convenience is defined as suiting our needs, fitting our time, or requiring little from ourselves. Convenience limits us and what God can accomplish in and through us. Did you ever think that the conveniences of life can keep you from the things of God? Now, there's a story in the Bible that I want to talk about in Acts chapter 24. Let me give you the preface to the story first. Now, Paul is like the greatest evangelist, right? He's out there evangelizing the world. But some people back in Acts 24, the story goes that they didn't like that. They called him a rebel rouser, trying to desecrate the temple, all kinds of crazy stuff, right? And you know the story probably. Paul said, that's not me, but he's doing what he's called to do, right? There's this guy named Felix, who's the governor at the time, and Felix knows all about Paul. In fact, the scripture says he knows, and the word he uses is the way. In the certain versions of God's word, it talks about the way. The way is the way of Jesus Christ, right? And so Paul's out there talking about the way, and Felix knows all about that. And so they arrest Paul and throw him in jail. And Felix, the governor, is going to see him in front of him. So he knows what Paul's doing. And we're going to read a scripture. Because Felix is getting challenged. See, he's the governor, so he has status. He has control. And he has power. Those are some of the things that, you know, we chase after in today's society. People chase after status. They chase after power, and they chase after control. This guy's got it. And so this guy that is in prison now, being arrested for creating some unrest, is going to come before him. And they're going to meet. In Acts 24, 24 through 25, reads like this. Several days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla. She's Jewish. He decides he's going to send for Paul and listen to him as he spoke about his faith in Jesus Christ. So the governor summons Paul and lets him talk. You can see it in your mind, right? Like, Paul, come to me. I'm the governor. Let me hear what you have to say. And Paul, the greatest evangelist ever, stands before him and starts talking about righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come. Scripture says that, right? Felix was afraid, said, that's enough for now. You may leave. I can't handle this right now. And then it says, when I find it to be more convenient, I'm going to send for you again. What's he saying? Right now, it's just not convenient. For what? His situation. He didn't want to hear about it. There's a conflict going on in his life. Paul is speaking about one thing, and this Felix is living something different. The conflict. And so what the governor decides to do, he says, I don't want to hear anything else about this, because this is going to disrupt my convenient life. He sends him away. I'll deal with it later. Why? It's not a convenient time for me right now. The conviction was showing up. He sends him away. Where did he send him to, Pastor? Send him back to jail. Felix stayed in his position for 2 years after that. And Paul remained in jail for 2 years. Why? Because he didn't find it convenient to bring him back. Why? Because every time he would bring him back, he knew there would be a conviction there of his status, of governor, his power, his control would be challenged. Because Paul was speaking truth. And he didn't want to hear it. So he remained. But now Felix, 2 years later, gets replaced. The new governor comes in and Paul's still in jail. That's an inconvenience. Paul's inconvenience for the cause of Jesus. Many other stories. Felix is inconvenienced, right? No, he remains convenient. He's still in power until 2 years later. And he loses and leaves that opportunity or that governorship. And Paul stays in prison. Many other examples in God's word about that. What about Abraham? Abraham, the father of many nations, right? Abraham. Back in the day, he was named Abram. Lived with his family. Bible kind of indicates that they were probably fairly well-to-do. Don't know, but he was convenient. Living in a life of convenience. God shows up and says, listen, I want you to leave there. What does that mean? Leave your family, your home, leave the American dream, right? Leave all of that and go to a place where there's no borders, as the song goes, right? Just go. That's not inconvenient, right? No, that's inconvenience. But he's going to leave his convenience and go into inconvenience. And so he does. What about Moses? You know, now I'm just thinking about some of them. What about Moses? Moses is exiled from Egypt. He's way out. I think the scripture says he's living with his in-laws, does it not? Gets married, lives with his in-laws. Holy cow, talk about inconvenience. I'm sorry. No, not saying, you know. But that's where he's living, right? And one day, he shows up in front of a burning bush, and God is going to shake his life and take him out of this convenient life he's living as a shepherd at the time with his family now, and says, I want you to go back there and deliver my people. That's going from convenience to inconvenience. And so he does. But the Bible is filled with this, folks. Peter, James, John, Andrew, all fishermen. And doing okay. They're doing just fine. Right? They're making money. It's not the most admirable trade back then, right? But they're making it. Until this guy shows up. This guy shows up one day and picks him out. You know, your life's not going to be as convenient anymore. You know this, but I want you to fish for men now and follow me. What does that look like? It's going to look inconvenient, but I want you to go. And so they did. Is that how we are today? Is that who we are as people? Not only in the church, but just in society. Is that how we are? I think we chase more convenient things than inconvenient things. There's many other examples throughout God's word. I just give you a few of them. But thoughts like this. If we want God to use us to impact our world, we'd better be prepared to be inconvenienced. Inconvenience. Another thought goes like this. God's world-changing, world-saving plans need people who are willing to change their thinking regarding conveniences. See, we're running and chasing after conveniences when God says, no, I want you to go where there's a place without a border. I want you to step out. And that means you may lose some control or you may lose some power or some influence, whatever it may be, or, you know, whatever. But I want you to go. Pastors do this all the time. Called to go preach, and they're not called to preach in their hometown. Go. And so we go, right? We go where God tells us to go. It's not always convenient. God wants us to exchange convenient Christianity for conviction, commitment, and challenge Christianity. That's where you want to live. Let me tell you a quick little story about this place out in Wyoming. I just read this the other day. I thought this was so cool. So there's this community out in Wyoming that they get a lot of tourism off of. I'm not going to tell you the place because it's a true story, right? So they get a lot of tourism, right? And they got a lot of hiking trails, and it's really beautiful country, right? Ever been to Wyoming? It's really pretty, right? And so people go out there to kind of chill and get away from things, the modern conveniences, right? And do some hiking. So this community says, let's give them a beautiful experience when they're here. And so they started asking the hikers, what could we do to make your hiking experience more convenient? Now, everybody here and watching online probably has hiked before on some type of wooded trail or biked under wood, something, I'm sure. So you know what I'm talking about. So they started writing in these things and or posting them on the websites, and here's what I think would be more convenient if we were to come back. And one of them was, you know, you should widen the trail, because if you widen the trail, I could walk with my significant other by the hand. It would be more convenient, because some of it was so narrow, they had to go one single file, right? So let's just widen the pathway. Just one. There's so many, I just picked a few, right? Here is another one. Let's pave the hiker pathways, right? The trails. Let's pave them. Why? Well, you could remove the snow, and then when we hike in the winter, it'll be all clear. Okay. Here's another one. Excavate and make them no hills. True story, folks. Make them no hills so we could just easily walk the trail. So we wouldn't have to navigate the ups and downs. Just make them all. Here's another one. Put reflectors on the trees every 50 feet apart so we can hike at night with our flashlights. And we can see trails. You know what that is? You know what that turned out to be? They became convenient hikers. Because it wasn't hiking anymore. It wasn't hiking. See, they were chasing convenience. You weren't going out to see the beauty of nature. You were taking the situation that you live in and implanting it inside some place you want to do vacation to. Instead of to see everything. There was one that I remembered, not my notes, I just remember, put up some lights. More lighting. So we could do the hiking at night even so with the reflective. We could have lights. Oh, I remember the other one. Put a Stairmaster type thing on the hill. If you're not going to excavate it, put that Stairmaster so my handicapped friends could come along and they could just... I mean, there's all kinds, folks. That is taking the situation and implanting it into the situation. Your situation, how you're living, chasing conveniences. Church, everybody can kind of realize that that's not what hiking is all about. But we're going to change the landscape of the hiking to put the convenience in there. I know, I kind of like the convenience of just going and relaxing, right? That's what it's all about. They started to call them convenience hikers. It's really dangerous, right, to start chasing convenience. It's really dangerous. God's not looking for someone that chases convenience. God's looking for people that chase after him, whether it's convenient or not. That's what we talked about in the last few weeks, alive and active. It's not always convenient, but he certainly makes you alive and active. It's a transformation that happens in your life. And there's some dangers in just chasing convenience. There's dangers that show up in my life. Let me go through some things here. Some dangers of convenience. 1 Kings 12:25 through 33. Watch the screen behind me or online. Then Jeroboam fortified Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and lived there. I should probably give you a little bit of background. You know, as the Israelites settled in the promised land and the years started passing off, they started not getting along. Like there's 12 tribes. Let me give you a little commercial. There's 12 tribes, right? Ancestry lines, right? That's what it is. And you know, just like family, they just kind of started fighting. Nah, that never happens, right? There's all kinds of people. And so 10 of them pushed out one direction and two tribes want the other. So you've got the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Right? David had already come on the scene. Solomon had come on the scene to rule the Israelites. But now the kingdom's going to be divided. And they wanted kings. That's why it's called kings. They wanted kings to rule them. You know, the way back, God said, you don't need a king. Got me. I want a king. Everybody else has a king. Give us a king. Okay, convenience. We'll give you a king. So he had a couple kings, and now the kingdom starts to kind of fight, and they split, and that's where we're at. Then Jeroboam fortified. That's the king of the northern tribes. The kingdom there fortified Shechem, where he's going to rule in the hill country of Ephraim. And he lived there. From there, he went out and built up Peniel. He's building up cities is what he's doing. Jeroboam thought to himself, the kingdom will now likely revert to the house of David. I don't want that to happen. I don't want the 10 kingdoms that I've got, the 10 tribes up in the northern kingdom to start doing some of the things they did in the southern kingdom. I don't know. I got to think something else. I got to think of a different situation to make it convenient. Is exactly what he's thinking. I don't want them to go back to that. If these people go up to offer sacrifices at the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem, they will again give their allegiance to the Lord Rehoboam, the king of Judah, the southern portion. That's where Jerusalem's at. So the 10 of them are up north, 2 of them are down south, two tribes, right? And they used to do the pilgrimage to Jerusalem, is what happens, right? We're going to go worship. Let's get all together. We're going to church. I don't want you to go to that church anymore. That's just what happened. I don't want you to go to that church. They're weird. They raise their hands. They eat. They eat there. They have food. They have coffee in the foyer. Come on. It's not reverent to God's house. Don't go there. So he's thinking of a way to make it more convenient so they don't go. That's exactly what's going on here, folks. Watch what happens. That's exactly what he's thinking. In verse 27, it says, if these people go to offer sacrifices at the temple of the Lord, the church, in Jerusalem, they will again give their allegiance to the Lord Rehoboam, king of Judah, the southern portion. They will then kill me and return to him. Wow, he's really thinking this through. Verse 28, after seeking some advice, of course, let's go get some advice, right? The king made 2 golden calves. He said to the people, it is too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Here are your new gods, your gods. Israel, he's talking about the people. The territory, who brought you up out of Egypt, one he set up at Bethel and the other at Dan, and this thing became sin. The people came to worship the one at Bethel, and they went as far, which is farther away, to Dan to worship the other, golden calves. Now, these people did it before, back when they were exiting and exile, getting out of Egypt, and there was some golden calves. I'll just give them back what they had before. Make it convenient for them. And I'll put them closer by their home so they don't have to go so far to Jerusalem. It's exactly what's going on here. So Jeroboam built shrines on high places and appointed priests from all sorts of people, even though they were not Levites. He got everybody going, church. He instituted a festival. Ha! They're going to have a party on the 15th day of the 8th month, like the festival held in Judah. He's given them some conveniences of back there, but they're going to do it a little different here is what he's doing, right? And he offered sacrifices on that altar. This he did in Bethel, sacrificing to the calves that he had made. And at Bethel, he also installed priests in high places that he made on the 15th day of the 8th month, a month of his own choosing. He chose it to make it convenient for the people. He offered sacrifices on the altar that he had built at Bethel. So he instituted this festival. Now they're going to eat and party, okay, for the Israelites. And they went up to the altar to make their offerings. What is he doing, Pastor? He's trying to make it more convenient for you to go to church, but the church is going to look a little bit different. Remember when you used to worship these golden calves and these things? I'm going to give that back to you. It's more convenient than you worshiping the God of heaven. Remember? So he asked them to chase after conveniences. So he built these golden calves at Bethel and Dan, locations, right? Cities. And so he built them, and then he partied around them because they like to eat. And they like to celebrate, just like we do today. So you don't have to make this big, long pilgrimage down to Jerusalem. All you have to do is stay online, church, and not show up. No, I'm not getting on anyone online. But watch what happens. Watch what happens. So he creates the modern convenience of worship. It's not really what God wants. It's not even worshiping God. He's going to have some golden calves and things. He's going to put them together, right? And he's going to say, just go here and not go this big, long trip. It's too far to go from Cleveland to Canton or vice versa, whatever, right? And he makes this statement in verse 28. It goes like this. It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Convenience enters the picture. Convenience enters the picture. Why? Because he knows. If I make it more convenient, I've got him. He knows if he changes the pews in the church to seats that recline, he's got you. He knows if he puts recliners in the movie theater, he's got you. With a little button that makes him go up and down. If he orders food from the concession stand at the movie theater and you don't even have to go walk to get it, you can do it on your phone, he's got you. Now make it more convenient. I'm going to make it convenient. You just got to come down to this party at Bethel and we'll party here. Or go a little further to Dan and you could party over there. But you don't have to make this big trip to Jerusalem any longer. I love online church. You're watching today online. I know there's some from the hospital. I mentioned it already. It's great. What a tool to keep people connected to the local church. But here's what also has happened with online church. It's become more convenient to watch from home. It's talked about everywhere. We have now made it more convenient not to go to the house of God to fellowship among like believers. So, you know, pastors are doing this throughout the country, the world. They're saying, we have online church. We've got an online campus now. Why? To bless the people that can't get here. And the people that aren't connected to us here locally. Like, we have many people watching this morning. If you're watching, thank you again so much. This is not a slam on them. But I hear all the time, as many ministers do, that we are told that it's now more convenient not to go to church. We could just stay at home and watch it. Wow, do you miss a lot when you do that? Your kids are missing it. Your kids aren't connecting. Did we not learn that during COVID, that when we disconnect, it hurts us more? And so this king decides to throw what he thought is a more modern convenience into his people's lives. And convenience enters the picture. There's a deception in convenience, folks. In verse 29, he says, the people came to worship the one at Bethel, and they went as far as Dan to worship the other golden calf of God that he erected. What's the deception, Pastor? He's bringing God to you instead of you going to God. And then he changed what God looked like and changed of who God really is. And the one he gave you to make your life more convenient wasn't the God at all. It was just made up. Just made up. But I'm going to give you that God. Why? It's more convenient. And so he does. And they all fall for it. They fall for it, right? That's the deception of the convenience. One of many stories in God's word. What about the allure of convenience in verse 28 through 33? The allure. What's the allure? We've been at Bethel before to worship. I'm just going to put a golden calf at the party at Bethel because they've been here before. So the allure, the name Bethel, the location's got some significance to it. It's more convenient. They'll get it. They'll show up because Bethel is important to them. Genesis 35:3, then come, let us go to Bethel, where I will build an altar to God, who answered me in the day of my distress and who has been with me wherever I have gone. He'll build an altar again at Bethel, but it won't be to God of heaven. It's going to be to some golden calf to make it more convenient. You don't have to go through all this stuff that God wanted you to do before. I'll make it so convenient. I'll put it in the city where you had it before. I'll give you the God that makes it easy. There's no expectation from my gods. They're just golden calves. You worship them. I'll give you food. We'll party. We'll celebrate. And you don't have to go all the way down to Jerusalem. It's great right here. There's a convenience. I'll even give you God in the place where you had God before to be convenient. Created a feast and made him comfortable. There's a danger there, right? Verse 30, it says, and this thing became sin. The people came to worship the one at Bethel and one as far as the Dan to worship the other. What is this thing? Well, the scripture says the thing is the sin of worshiping the calves. But the sin also that we don't see in that scripture is the sin of convenience. Because they did it out of convenience. What does that mean, Pastor? They're chasing convenience. Because they're more worried about their situation than their relationship with heaven. That's what it means. Let that not be us. Let that not be us. What's the reason for the convenience? What's the king's reasoning? What's his reason? He mentions it. He was afraid. He was afraid that the people would go down to Jerusalem and maybe adhere to the ways of David, some old tradition. So I'll make it convenient in this church right here. I'll put up a calf. I'll do all these things. I'll make it convenient to stay at this church. I'll make it convenient. And God had told him earlier in that chapter that if you would just follow me, I will make sure your house is a sure thing. Let's go back and read it. I'll take care of you, he says. He doesn't do anything. He chases convenience instead of God. And God says, fine. Chase convenience. Give them convenience. If that's what they want, what can I do? Same thing our churches do today. Same things our families do today. The same things we do as people. We chase convenience instead of God sometimes. I pray that's not you, but that's the core of the series. Let's make sure that we're not chasing after conveniences and forgetting about God. Is God concerned about your situation? You better believe it. Is God concerned about whether you're convenient? Not as much as he's concerned about your walk with him. Somebody came up to me this morning, I'm not going to mention their name, said, Pastor, you know, thank you for that giving message last week. Since I've been coming to this church, my tithe has tripled. You know what that says to me? Your income has tripled. Why? Because God's supernatural power is being poured out. This king's chasing conveniences all around. Let that not ever be in the church of Jesus Christ. And I fear sometimes we see that. We see that churches are changing to convenience. Let that not be here. We have online broadcasts so people can be blessed. We do the best we can with what God has blessed us with. But now I watch throughout the land and throughout the world, churches changing to convenience things so people can feel that they're getting that convenience. God's not asking for convenience. He doesn't want us chasing convenience. It's the exact opposite. Sometimes he's going to make life inconvenient because he's more concerned about how we are worshiping and spending time with him than he is with our situation. See, once our relationship is restored and we're doing great with heaven, then the convenience of the situation in our life shows up. Why? Because God ordained it and it wasn't just us. God wants to have a hand in that. It's like when we were parenting, what are we doing with our kids? Society neglecting the laws of the land and the laws of heaven. All done in the name of convenience. Let that not be what we do here. I will leave you with this. Instead of letting our faith speak into our situation, we chase after convenient situations that ends up defining our faith. Instead of letting our faith speak to our situation, we chase after that convenient situation that ends up defining our faith. Let that not be here. Let that not be here. I believe the scriptures are true. you chase after the one true God, your life will be perfect. Can I get a witness in the house today? Can I get a witness? Chase after heaven, church. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, let me not chase after convenience before I chase after you. Lord God, let it be so that I run after heaven. Lord God, can I pray this morning, if it takes me being inconvenienced, let it be so. Lord, if it takes people at Crosspoint Church and watching online to be inconvenienced, let it be so. Lord God, I'd rather be inconvenienced and go to heaven than be chasing convenience and not. Father God, I pray today your outpouring of power and conviction and commitment and challenges in our lives, Lord God. Lord, truly take us to places where we don't have these borders, as the song goes, Lord God. We don't want to chase convenience. We want to chase heaven. Lord God, let it be the people of Crosspoint Church. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Church, stand with me today. Because as they sing the song this morning, and we'll close on it, where there's freedom is where the Spirit of the living God is. Let's do that together as we leave the sanctuary or shut off our devices. Don't chase after convenience. Let the freedom in heaven be your situation. God bless you.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is